Even though your bulletin is in its entirety in your bulletin today, you will need your Bible because we're going to be in three or four other passages of Scripture before we're done today. So our text from Isaiah chapter 14, verses 1 and 2 is found there in the bulletin. But you want to keep your Bible handy because we'll be looking at some other passages today. So follow along as I read our text for us. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. For the Lord will have compassion on Jacob and will again choose Israel and will set them in their own land, and sojourners will join them and will attach themselves to the house of Jacob. And the peoples will take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel will possess them in the Lord's land as male and female slaves. They will take captive those who were their captors and rule over those who oppressed them. Now, in the middle of these passages on judgment, we're going to find gems. And sometimes we need to dig to discover them, but when we find them, they are precious indeed. And that's the case with our text this morning. Right in the middle of these passages of God's judgment, we find these verses. We find this little gem, this little jewel, this little promise for us. As you will recall, last week we looked at God's judgment on Babylon, the empire that was yet to come, but the empire that God had chosen to bring judgment upon His wayward children, the people of Judah. Now, prior to the judgment of Judah by Babylon, God used the Assyrian Empire to judge the wickedness of the northern kingdom of Israel. And the reason why we have these two kingdoms, why we have a northern kingdom of Israel and a southern kingdom of Judah, is because since the days of King Solomon's son Rehoboam, the northern kingdom of Israel, described often in Isaiah as Ephraim, and the southern kingdom of Judah had been alienated. For generations, these two nations of brothers have lived apart, and sometimes have even been bitter enemies. This alienation continues into the future, even into the time of Jesus' day, when the descendants of those who were conquered by the Assyrians were despised by the Jews. We know them as the Samaritans, a mixed race of Jewish and Gentile blood, as a result of the actions that began with the Assyrians. And it was Jesus who began to heal the rift between these nations, as demonstrated by His ministry to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, and also His use of a Samaritan as the hero in Luke chapter 9. But even though Jesus began that work, this healing was already in the mind of God, as demonstrated by Isaiah in our text today. Notice that he writes that the Lord will have compassion on Jacob and will again choose Israel. In other places in this book, we've seen the division between Ephraim, the northern kingdom, and Judah, the southern kingdom. But all of them are in reality descendants of Jacob. All of them are the Israel that were descended from Jacob. All of them are the Israel of the patriarchs. This is the Israel that came about because of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. This is the Israel that was delivered out of Egypt under the leadership of Moses. This is the Israel that Joshua led into the promised land. This is the Israel of the joint kingdom that was ruled over by King David and following by King Solomon before it was split. This division is mended in our text in Isaiah. And the people of God are united once more. And not just that. We also in our passage see sojourners who come and join themselves to this house. And those sojourners, those outsiders, who become inheritors of the promise. I want to develop 2 points this morning out of our text. Now there's a third point towards the end about taking captive. I'm going to reserve that for next week. It will tie into what we look at in the verses that follow. But I want to develop 2 points this morning, and they're going to be based on 2 words in our text. The first of these words is the word compassion. And the second is the word sojourner. Compassion. We read in our text that the Lord will have compassion on His people. He will have compassion on Jacob. He will have compassion again by choosing Israel. But this is nothing new. God's compassion has been nothing new. Turn with me, if you would, first, please, to Psalm 103 on page 502 in your Bibles. Psalm 103, if you would, please. Now, I'm going to read this entire psalm for us, and then we're going to look at several points out of Psalm 103. Psalm 103, written by King David, says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you His angels, you mighty ones who do His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all His hosts, His ministers who do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." I want you to see two things in this psalm. In verse 13, I want you to see God's compassion like a father to His children. God is compassionate like a father to His children. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Also, secondly in this psalm, if we look back to verses 7 and 8, we find that King David points back to Moses. He points back to the experience of Moses. And he says there that just as He made His ways known to Moses and His acts to the people of Israel, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Now, when King David used those words, his Jewish readers would have been drawn back to Exodus chapter 33. And would you turn with me to Exodus chapter 33? Be page 74 in your pew Bible. We want to look specifically at verses 17 through 23. Exodus 33, verses 17 through 23. Now, what we find here is that Moses wants to see the Lord's glory. He wants to experience the Lord's glory. And look at what the Lord says to him beginning in verse 17. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'This very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name.' Moses said, 'Please show me your glory.' And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not see. Now what's important about that passage is the Lord says, I'm going to show you myself, I'm going to illustrate my name, and I'm going to tell you something about me. I will be gracious on those upon whom I'll be gracious, and I will show mercy. I'll show my mercy upon those upon whom I'll show my mercy. He'll be gracious and merciful to those upon whom He has chosen to be gracious and merciful. And His grace and His mercy are determined by Him, by God alone. We cannot seize His compassion. We cannot steal His mercy. Now He offers it to whom He desires. Now as we think back on Isaiah, He has been angry with His people. He has been angry with both northern and southern kingdoms. And yet now in His compassion, now in His mercy, now in His grace, He is going to restore them. And He's going to do it by His will. We see this in the words of Psalm 103. He has compassion on His children. Now I remember when my children were younger. And we would see other children acting up. And my children oftentimes would observe, well, their parents must not love them if they let them act that way. We had taught my children, I don't know how, I wasn't the best of parents, but somehow we had taught them that a sign of our love, a sign of our compassion for them was discipline. They should do the right thing. And that they were bounds. They had to sit in that car seat and have that seat belt on. Other children bounce around the car. Observation would be, their parents must not love them. And there were times when we'd be out and about and we'd see this and we'd see other children acting up. Now, the temptation was always for me to intervene. Say, hey, you shouldn't do that. Sit down. Obey your mom. But it wasn't my place. And I didn't do that. Now, I was morally obligated to protect other people's children should I find them in danger. But I wasn't obligated to change their behavior or to discipline them in some way. My special duty was to my children. And it was to pour out my compassion and my love as best I understood upon them. Not to other people's children. God has compassion on His children. The same way I had compassion upon my children. Now that brings us, in a strange way, but it brings us to the second word I want us to look at today. From our text there in Isaiah, the word sojourner. The sojourner is the foreigner. The sojourner is the outsider who has found himself in the midst of Israel. These are people who are not descended from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. These are people that are not Jews. These are people who would otherwise be excluded from the promises given to Israel, outside of the covenant. Yet in our text, we find that these outsiders are joined to Jacob. Now remember a few moments ago when I said it wasn't my job to discipline and mold the children of strangers? That's true. But what if I had adopted one of those children? What if I had taken one of those children into my family? Then my responsibility would change. Then I would be obligated to treat them as my own flesh and blood. And that is exactly what God has done. He has taken outsiders and He has joined them to His family. Now that is a recurring New Testament theme. The fact that God has taken the outsider and has joined them to Himself, to His family. And I think one of the passages that demonstrates this very well is in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, page 983, if you're using your pew Bible, especially in verses 21 and 22. Colossians chapter 1, in verses 21 and 22. And the Apostle Paul is writing to that church in Colossae. And he says this, "And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him." Notice there, you were once alienated. You were once outside. There's a lot of talk today about aliens. You know, we don't want those aliens. We don't want those outsiders. Well, God's in the business of making outsiders insiders. You once were alienated and hostile in mind. You were doing evil deeds. He has now done the work. He has reconciled in His body of flesh by His death to represent you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. You were outside. You weren't part of the family. Now you're found holy and blameless. Now you're found part of the family. And also as a member of the family, now you have responsibilities. You have responsibilities in that family. You might have to turn over a page or so in your Bible to go to chapter 3 of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 12 through 17. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Look at the responsibilities we have once we're part of the family. The responsibilities we have once we come in and we're no longer outsiders. "Put on then," verse 12, "put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts." Now I'm going to stop right there for a moment. "Put on then as God's chosen ones." Remember God says He'll be merciful to whom He'll be merciful, He'll be gracious to whom He'll be gracious. His choice to do that. He has chosen you the same way I might choose a child to adopt into my family. God has chosen outsiders. "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts." See, He's been compassionate. He expects us to be compassionate. And it doesn't just end there. That's where it begins, but it continues. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Note there, not only the benefit of being a child of God, not only the benefit of coming into the family after being an outsider, after being a stranger, but now the responsibility. If my natural children found that it was my role to teach them responsibility, if I had an adopted child, it would also learn that. Otherwise, I wouldn't be loving that child. Otherwise, I wouldn't be showing my compassion to that child. In the same way, God expects us, when we're in the family, to act in that same way, to show that compassion, to show that kindness, to seek out that harmony. or to proclaim His goodness and sing His praise and do everything in such a way that brings glory to Him. Now, once you recognize the compassion we've now received is to be shared with others. The kindness that we have enjoyed is to be enjoyed by others also. Always keeping mindful, and this is a Reformation principle, always keeping mindful that those things don't save us. Only the work of Christ saves us. But these things show that we are His saved people. They show that we are in His family. They show that we are being changed by Him. We take on His character and we exhibit His characteristics. And we give all the glory to Him. Now already in our study in Isaiah, we have seen graphically portrayed the judgment of God against sin. The judgment that is coming for all those who remain outside the family. Those who choose to rebel. Those who decide that their way is better than His way. Yet He opens up His loving arms. Arms that were spread wide on a cruel cross. And He calls for us to come under His shelter and to enter into the joy of His family. He is compassionate. He is merciful. He is gracious. And He calls to us to come in. To come into His kingdom. To come under His governance. To come into His joy. He has thrown the door wide open in the work of Christ. And He lovingly pleads with sojourners, with outsiders, to come inside, to come into the family, and to escape the judgment to come. Are we still that sojourner, that outsider who needs shelter and a place of refuge? Are we wandering around aimlessly with no eternal home, with no true family? He calls us to come into His family, to be blessed by His compassion, to be His people. I have been far from being a perfect father to my children. But He is the perfect Father. He is the perfect Father to all of His children. Even those who were once outside, now those who have been adopted into His family by the work of Christ.